Welcome back to Proverbs 13. This is the B-side. Our conversation went long on Proverbs 13, 24 and parental discipline. And it was so good. Denise Ross and Peyton Jones are with me on this one. Now, we just got started on this verse when we cut off side A, so I'll catch you up quickly. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." The key is discipline, careful discipline for your children. We've already made it clear that nothing in the Bible ever condones cruelty, abuse, aggression, or violence towards children. The challenge, then, is just how do you discipline children, as there is some controversy over the issue of spanking. And in the verse, the rod indicates a rod of spanking. We'll dig into that and really get to the heart of parental discipline and some practical do's and don'ts. Thanks for joining us for Proverbs 13, the B-side. Now, Denise, I want to ask you, you got four boys. You work with children every day. Why does verse 24 make discipline an issue of love and hatred? Why does this say whoever spares the rod hates their children?
So let's get into this. So the situation is that the Bible also says in Proverbs 4:7 that this is the beginning of wisdom. Though it may cost you everything you have, get an understanding, right? So what happens is that before you discipline your child, if you haven't checked for comprehension and clarity, then that's a direct reflection of your parental and communicative skills. So how can you discipline from somebody for something that you never even check for clarity, that they understand what's expected of them? That's number one. So then, and then we got number two. If you don't teach your children discipline, not necessarily corporal punishment, but if you don't teach them discipline, the rod, yes, can be used to strike, but it could also be used to redirect. It could be used to get close. It could be used to change the trajectory of their path. And you have to have disciplinary actions. Men are the ones who murder. Men are the ones who are murdered. Men are the ones who are in prison. And if you look at most of them, the disciplinary action that was taken upon them was abusive in nature, with no understanding or clarity, or administered with them in mind. Mm-hmm. So we have to know that discipline as a corporal punishment is on the table. It's not off the table. But the fact of the matter is, it's not the first resort. It should be plan Alpha Sigma Z. That's the last plan. And you have to check for clarity. You have to check for understanding. You have to recheck for clarity. You have to recheck for understanding. And then when it is disobedience, the only time Jesus has been mad is at people in the church. He didn't, you know, he flipped tables over for that. So when it's disobedience, that's when we have, because that means you made a concise decision to go against the well wishes or the structure that has been established in your household. And you have to discipline them, because if you don't discipline, I'm going to keep it real with y'all. My grandmother used to give me some whoopings. And as a man, I sit back and I look at them, and I deserved every one. And I remember one time I asked her, "Why are you whooping me?" And she said, "I'll whoop you so that the cops don't kill you, because I know when to stop." Now, some of y'all parents don't know when to stop. And because you don't know, and you never check for clarity, and you don't speak to your children, then what your parental skill is that you're going to beat them because they made you mad. No, never discipline out of anger. Always discipline from a place of love, because you want to know what's best. You want what's best for them. That's it. So,
and that's the heart of this here.
Yeah.
That discipline is an expression of love.
Of love.
Because you love your child, you discipline. It's a sacrifice that you're willing to make. But you spare the rod, it's a matter of,
yeah,
this is too hard for me. I don't want to put in the work as a parent.
Yeah.
Discipline takes a lot of effort. Careful discipline takes an extreme amount of effort to figure out what works for your child. Now, Peyton, I want to ask you, you've adopted two girls. Beautiful girls. I know your kids. And you had to sign an agreement in adoption. You cannot spank. So what does this mean for you? It brings me back to that one word in the verse, careful. The one who loves their children is careful to discipline.
So what does that mean to you to be careful about discipline?
Well, not legally being able to spank our children. It means that we've had to get creative. And what I've learned is that the same rule applies. I have to think and stop. It's a protective barrier against my own flesh. But it also has made me patient. You said something once about parenting that I mentioned today in our conversation, that patience, according to Paul, is an outworking of love. And my children know that I love them deeply and I will patiently discipline. We talk things through. We don't quickly go to physical punishment, like Denise pointed out. We get creative. I think right now my kids think the worst thing that could ever happen to them is something might get taken away for a short time. But ultimately, at the root of our discipline is they don't like displeasing us because they love us. Discipline exists within a relationship of love and trust. And so if we stop disciplining our kids, we wouldn't have that. They wouldn't trust us or feel secure. They need that from us. Discipline, regardless of what form it takes, is important for a child to trust a parent and to know they're loved. And even in the New Testament, it says God disciplines those he loves.
Amen.
He treats us like children.
Yeah. Yeah. Book of Hebrews reminds us that God is a father, and thus God disciplines, and he does it out of love. And we're called to model that. To discipline is to make a disciple. To give discipline is to teach someone to follow. We're teaching our kids to follow and become like who we are. We want them to be mature adults. We want them to recognize there's consequences. You live life, there's consequences. One of the funniest things looking at your kids is they don't realize there's consequences. They'll do anything. They'll stick my daughter, when she was little, I found out she was sticking a rod into the light socket. Praise God. She would always put it in the grounding.
Yeah.
Put it in the ground. I found out she was doing that. But at some point I had to teach her there's a consequence to this.
I have a question for you guys. So the question is, if there is no fear of what's disciplining you, could you really discipline?
The consequence has to be real.
It has to be real.
Your kid can't like it. You can't give him chocolate as a discipline.
You really can't. And I mean, I deal with it at school, because especially when we have adolescent boys, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, and their physical presence has usurped the hierarchy in the house. So now the consequences that are being leveraged against them are worthless.
Yep.
Because the person that is leveraging those disciplines has no power. You can't physically do anything. They can't legally do anything. If I throw you out, I'm held responsible for you leaving. So what can I do? There's nothing I can do. So if the person who is administering the discipline has been castrated, then, because the reason that we are so fearful of the Lord, not only are we supposed to love him, but it says the beginning of all understanding is fear of the Lord. And why should you don't fear people who can't discipline you? Yeah. Like, imagine if cops had no disciplinary situations. Okay. Direction and suggestion is two different things.
So I think there's a scale, and on one end is craven fear, and probably we start there. That is the beginning of wisdom. We do not want to be punished, but then there's perfect love on the opposite end of that scale, and that perfect love casts out fear. I actually obey God now because I love him. I don't actually fear. I know my sins are nailed to the cross. I know I'm not going to be punished, only rewarded. But I've walked with Jesus for 30 years. It's my displeasure of displeasing him. That is what I fear more than anything he will do to me. And I think at the end of it, if discipline really is about love, then our perfect love has to, I think our kids, perfect love should cast out fear. I think our kids should be coming from a place at a certain stage of, I love mom and dad. I don't want to hurt them, and I don't want to betray them. I haven't finished raising my kids. We'll see how that story plays out. That may not be enough, but that's how it's worked in my relationship with God so far.
I think discipline when children are young is one of the most essential things you do as a parent. Discipline when your children are young. It is so difficult to discipline a teenager who hasn't learned cause and effect in their life. Mm. At some point, every child is going to learn consequences. Something is going to, if you let them get to the place where they learn consequences from the street, from the cops,
from other people,
from somewhere, they will learn cause and effect because it's in the world. And kids are good at learning it. One of the best, one of the transformational moments in my young parenting was when I discovered that my wife was putting M&Ms out on the table within kids' reach on purpose. So she'd always put M&Ms out. It was just a thing she did for guests. She just left M&Ms and she just liked that. It was an entryway table. And whenever guests weren't around, I would always put it up high. And I kept finding it come back down. I'm like, who is putting the M&Ms where my kids can reach them? They're going to eat all this candy. And finally, I found out when my wife challenged me, when she said, why are you putting the M&Ms out of reach? I said, because the kids are going to eat them. She said, yeah, they are. And they're going to face consequences and they're going to learn. And I realized my wife was brilliant because she didn't hide the matches. She didn't hide the dangerous things in the house. She didn't hide the remote control just because we didn't want them to play. She left them there. And when they played with what they weren't supposed to, they got consequences. They weren't terrible consequences. But if she waited until they were teenagers and everything in the house was safe, they would be touching very dangerous things. So they learn when they were young because my wife let them learn. The discipline was soft. It was, but it was real. It was consequential. It was painful to their little hearts.
You should never be abusive to a child. You should never discipline out of anger. You shouldn't even spank. You should really, but it needs to be on the table.
It's funny because Andrew and I, we do not judge people who spank. We're just not allowed to, you know? So it's like, it's a rough one, you know, but everybody's got to walk their own road, man. Like, you know, we are in a unique position. Well, I think God's will worked out for me.
I'm going to say I have four boys.
Yeah.
Eight. Two spankings collectively.
Oh,
four boys,
okay,
18.
There you go. Right.
two right spankings there. Collectively. One of them, same situation, playing with the electrical socket. Mm-hmm. Because you know who doesn't know when to stop? Electricity. Yeah. Electricity would ground them out, and it's not the volts that'll kill you. It's the amps that'll throw your heart off. Mm. Second one, running out into the street chasing a ball. You know what? I gotta get you. And every time that I ever spanked, and a third time, so it's three spankings, hitting my mama out of anger when one of them was three. And what my big thing was, I'm going to tell you, I'm gonna hug you afterwards. I'm gonna tell you I love you, and I'm gonna tell you why I did it. You know what I mean? And those things were already clear. Like, hey, don't, because I can't. I'd rather you get spanked on your little bottom. For, you know, reasonably go to sleep and I love you and we can go to Baskin Robbins, then you get shocked because the milliamps then throw you off on your heart, or you get hit by a car. I have to make decisions for you until you're old enough to deal with the consequences of your mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's real. So I want to make it clear. Three spankings, four boys, 18, 17, 15 and 10. Okay, because it's more, the older they get is less direction and more suggestion.
Yeah.
You know.
Amen. And that's the thing. The older they get, the less power that you have.
Yeah.
My kids are all, within a couple of months, all three of my kids will be adults. I've got one who's a mom already, another one who just graduated college. I got one who's headed off to college. I don't have power over the consequences in their lives anymore. But I haven't needed to discipline them in any kind of punitive way in years. I can't remember the last time I gave them consequences, because they understand consequences. I let the consequences happen. You didn't do your homework? All right. You're going to face natural consequences. It all comes naturally now. But when they were young, we poured in this lesson of cause and effect.
Yeah.
And that they get to the place where, all right, I can handle myself. Okay, I don't need to put consequences on you anymore.
You deal with I'm 100% on board. Let's see, my eldest son is 18. The last spanking out of the three that I gave was when he was four. So I haven't, there has been no corporal punishment administered in my house in 14 years.
But I think that's something very profound that both of you have pointed to, that discipline is not about power.
No.
people that make it about power end up abusing. Discipline is about love.
100%. 100%. It's because I love them. It wasn't because they didn't go again. So we also have a rule in my house, too. Well, I guess it's a structure and a protocol. If you dislike something, you have a right to say it in a respectful way. Jesus asked him, why have you forsaken me? He asked his daddy that. Like, you know, wait, let me talk to you, Pop. Wait a minute. Why have you forsaken me? So my sons can come to me and they can say, hey, Pop, I'm not feeling this. Can I talk to you for a minute? And we sit down and we talk about it. And if you could give me a pragmatic situation, like my eldest, when he was in seventh grade, he wanted his bedtime to be increased because he had the same bedtime. We had bedtime for everybody. Everybody got to go to bed. And he said, wait, I get straight A's. I'm never in trouble. And I promise you I will wake up. So why do I have to have the same bedtime? Sat down. Totally understandable, big dog. You're right. Run it. But now you wake up. If you don't wake up and I'm gone, you're left. Because this is your transition into manhood. Because you got to be accountable for your own natural consequences. I don't have any problem with that. So you have a right. I would never want to subtract the voice of the voiceless. I always want to give my children a voice. So they say, hey, but you have to be respectful. God say, don't mock me. And I'm nowhere near God. I'm not comparing myself to him. I'm just saying, he said, don't mock me. He didn't say you couldn't ask for things in my name. He didn't say you couldn't talk to him. He even, one of the disciples doubted. Like, you know what I mean? Doubting Thomas. Like, he doubted. He doubted. So God is bigger than everything you bring into him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But bring it with respect and reverence. That's all I ask. Good. Bring it with respect and reverence. You know, and especially for these young men who you don't, when you're physical, I've said this multiple times, when the hierarchy of the house is usurped and set asunder because their physical presence usurps the hierarchy in the house. When a woman is 5'4", 140 pounds, and their baby is 6'1", 190, been playing football, and if that woman has not, unfortunately, unfairly and unjustly, if she is a single mom, what is she going to do to that boy? What is she going to do? What, she going to nag him to death? He going to leave. She going to yell at him? So what? She going to hit him? So what? She going to throw him out the house? Can't. She going to not feed him? Go to jail. What are you going to do? And you think these kids don't understand that? So like you said, you can't wait until they 17 and 3/4 to try to discipline. Try and potty train an old dog. See how that work.
And that's what I think. That's why, to understand discipline, discipline is not about having power over your child. It's about empowering your child. Yeah. Because what you're teaching them is the power of self-control.
100%.
Before they have self-control, they'll get themselves into trouble. You empower them by discipline, by teaching them. Eventually, your goal is not to discipline the rest of their lives. It's not going to work.
No. Yeah.
You got to look forward and see there's going to come a time when I will have no power to guide what you do. So I'm going to do this now so that, with the goal in mind of giving you the power to have control over yourself.
Yes, sir.
To enact your own discipline. Because I've gotten to the place that I don't have that power over any of my kids.
I mean, you're a good parent. When you're a good parent, your job is to parent yourself out of a job.
Yeah, amen. I want mature kids. I want to raise adults. I don't want to raise kids.
You raise kids? You want to raise adults. So your parents is your way out of it. Now, they come to you as a sage, as an advice, as a guide, you know, counsel. Hey, yeah. But they deal with the consequences and they have the autonomy to make their own decisions. You have parented yourself out of a position. Good job. You make yourself obsolete. As we should.
I get to be granddad.
Yeah, just grandpa. Grandpa.
I'm just grandpa. And that's it for the B-side, everyone. Hope it was helpful for all of you, especially parents. May the Lord guide you in wisdom and love for your children to raise and discipline them well. We'll see you back here in chapter 14.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.